Thanks for listening to another message from Life Christian Church. We hope it challenges and encourages you and helps you to grow in your faith. Don't forget, download our app to stay up to date with what's going on at Life, share your prayer requests or pray for others, read the Bible online and much, much more. Simply search for Life Christian Church in your app store.
Well, thank you, Life Church, for the opportunity to share with you this morning. Those who perhaps don't know me, I live in Devonport with my family, and I have the wonderful privilege of being the CEO of Loaves and Fishes Tasmania and Devonport Chaplaincy. And many of you will know Devonport Chaplaincy because we've got a number of chaplains here in this gathering that are actively working in our schools here in in Ulverston, and we're incredibly grateful for the work that they do in bringing hope and love to our community. And the other great privilege that I have every single week is to lead a group of pastors, the pastors of Devonport. 14 of us get together every single week, and we have the opportunity to unite together as the church of the city, to pray, to encourage one another, to build one another up, and to meet. We meet every six weeks, we meet with our mayor, and we take the opportunity just to talk with her through some of the things that she's struggling with or perhaps going through, or some of the exciting things that are happening in the city of Devonport, and to pray with her. Sometimes we have some of our school principals come in and we pray with them. So it's a great thing to be together as the church of the city, the leaders, the spiritual leaders of the city, and to bring the hope and love of Jesus to those around us. I was meant to be here a few weeks ago, and I think Rose very graciously stood in my place, and I'm very grateful for that. Thank you, Rose. It was a rather busy few weeks, and for some of you, you may be aware, and this is part of something that God's just laid on my heart to share with you this morning. I really do pray that when you leave here this morning, that the few thoughts that have been placed on my heart to share with you will inspire you and encourage you. They'll do more than inspire you. I hope that they will challenge you to live better for Jesus, challenge you to live in such a way that the hope that is within comes out and impacts those around you. But one of the reasons why I had to sort of decline or change plans, and again, thank you, Rose, you probably know that there's an election on, and one of the things that we do through the work of Loaves and Fishes is we're obviously very actively involved in the food security space, and making sure that Tasmanians around us, many Tasmanians, get food on the table. And that's obviously meant that we've had a great opportunity to work with all sectors of government and to talk about that and to make sure that we can not just ask them for money, but make sure that we can work with them to do a better job in the future. And I just want to read you something that I posted on my Facebook just during the last couple of weeks. And I'm not trying to get political here. This is not about politics or any particular colour or party. But this is just something that I wrote, and it very much relates to what I want to share with you this morning. Let's cast our votes with a focus on those who champion the well-being of our community's most vulnerable, encompassing the poor, marginalised, sick, homeless, those with disabilities, and those grappling with mental health issues. The question is not what's best for me, but what's best for all of us. It's crucial to consider not only what benefits us individually, but also what serves the collective good, fostering resilient and supportive communities built around values that will sustain. Martin Luther Jr. made a quite profound statement at one stage, and he said, "Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter." Let's engage actively in shaping a brighter future for Tasmania. I'll leave you with that. I'm not telling you who to vote for or what to do, but obviously there's a decision to be made, and we have the opportunity as followers of Jesus to make that decision in a considered and compassionate and godly way. And I'll leave that up to you to just take the time to really discern before God what that looks like. And I trust that some of the thoughts that I share with you this morning, which do come from experience, from life experience, I suppose, and the things that I'm involved in actively every day, I just pray that the thoughts that I share with you will challenge your hearts today. If we can just grab to that next slide, if we could. I'd like you to ponder this thought that today, the 17th of March, 2024, so that's today, 120,000 people, 120,000 Tasmanians will struggle to put food on the table. And that's a fact. There will be 120,000 people today across our state, in a state that has some of the most amazing food that you can imagine, will struggle to put food on the table. They may have to make the decision between whether they pay their power bill or whether they give some food to their children. And I've sat across the table in people's homes with people who are struggling to make that decision. And I'll tell you some more stories about that as we go on this morning. Today, I just want to focus our attitude towards the poor and the marginalised, those who are enduring tough times. I'm not here to uplift or perhaps justify a lukewarm walk with Jesus, or even, on the contrary, a passionate walk with Jesus. And I've seen some very passionate people here this morning, and I'm very grateful for that. I'm so excited when I see people who love God with all their heart. But this morning, I've been moved and really stirred by the Spirit to share some words and thoughts that I hope will prompt you to reflect and maybe change some parts of your life and perhaps align more closely with what honours God and what is deeply on the heart of God. I'll share a few stories throughout the morning, perhaps around our chaplaincy work and what some of our chaplains are involved with, or some of our loaves and fishes work. But that's not the point. I'm not here to sign you up to be part of that. What I'm actually hoping that what I share this morning will be something that transforms your heart and stirs your heart to walk closer in line with the heart of God. Can we read together some words of Jesus? And we find these in Matthew chapter 26. And I want to focus particularly on one verse, verse 11, where Jesus makes this very interesting statement. And it's a challenging statement. And quite often, for us as followers of Jesus, it's a misinterpreted statement. Verse 11 says, "You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." It's an interesting statement, isn't it, when you think about what was Jesus actually meaning here? What was the intent of those words? Now let's read this whole section of Scripture from Matthew chapter 26. And you'll find, I'm going to start from verse 6. Matthew chapter 26, starting at verse 6. "Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who previously had leprosy. While he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of perfume and poured it all over his head. The disciples were indignant when they saw this. 'What a waste,' they said. 'It could have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor.' Verse 10, but Jesus, aware of this, replied, 'Why criticize this woman for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. She has poured this perfume on me to prepare my body for burial. I tell you the truth. Wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed. Now, some brief context considering this scripture. And can I actually add that when it comes when we talk about context, I'm going to talk just for a moment about the context of this scripture. You know, context is important to understand, and it's something that we all need to grapple with and take hold of every day when we encounter people. We encounter people who are struggling. We encounter people who perhaps we don't agree with. It's so important sometimes to understand the context of where people are at. Anyway, let's get back to the context of this scripture. Firstly, Jesus was approaching his crucifixion. These events in Matthew chapter 26, they occurred during the final week of Jesus' life. Very appropriate for the next few weeks, isn't it? Commonly referred to as Holy Week or the Passion Week. Jesus is aware of his impending betrayal, his arrest, and the crucifixion that awaits him. And he prepares his disciples for these events. This is the context of what's going on here. Jesus here engages in teaching and encounters conflicts with the religious leaders, particularly the Pharisees and the Sadducees. These conflicts that Jesus was facing in this situation here often centered around issues of religious authority or perhaps interpretation of the law, and Jesus' own claims about his identity. Sometimes I think for us, things that challenge us deeply, or people that challenge us deeply, or circumstances that challenge us deeply, maybe people who are perhaps struggling in life and we wonder why, it can really stir our hearts to the point that we kind of have a little bit of a religious approach to things, or a bit of a Pharisaical approach to things, or a bit of a negative approach to things. And I think it's so important that we understand that Jesus was trying to confront this. He was trying to bring perspective to this. Now, as we look at this scripture, as we read it in Matthew, as it was read to us in Matthew earlier, as we do, I want to leave you with three things that I hope will help you and me as we navigate the everyday matter of people struggling to make ends meet, perhaps, struggling to put food on the table. Maybe they're one of those 120,000. Or maybe it's just people battling with the pain and the anguish of mental health. And we know that's such a challenge on our northwest coast, where people just, it overwhelms their life, where they can't cope with what's going on, to the point, sadly, where so many end up taking their own life. Or whether it's just the basic necessities of food or other challenges that people are facing, I just hope that these three points that I want to share with you, and I ask that you take away and reflect upon and really see, where does God want me to do differently in this regard? May you take them away, and may they be a challenge as you seek to be the hands and feet of Jesus to those around you. The first one is understand the why behind the what. You know, if we go back to this statement that the poor will always be with you, we can often hear, and I've had people say to me, you know, oh, poverty can never be overcome. You know, it's just a problem that can never be solved. After all, Jesus said it, the poor will always be with you. It's in the scripture. You know what, sometimes I think our attitude can be a bit like that, where we can just settle for that. We can settle for the in a sense, the flippant, quick interpretation of what Jesus said without understanding, without truly understanding the why behind the what, the why behind why someone just can't hold their life together because of mental health challenges or other physical challenges or whatever it may be. Perhaps sometimes, maybe like you, you've experienced this, you know, this mediocre approach to it, and you've seen people attempt to you know, to take the wins out of the many, many other points or times where Jesus has said and has directed us to take care of the widows, to take care of the poor, to the take care of the least of these, as he says in Matthew chapter 25, for the least of these, you've done it unto me. Perhaps even I have been in that situation at times where I've taken the flippant view, oh, well, the poor will always be here, so I'll just get on with my life and do my thing. I believe that Jesus here was actually trying to emphasize the opposite. It seems to me that Jesus was actually advocating for generosity and action to eradicate poverty rather than this hands-up-in-the-air approach, this shoulder-shrugging approach or apathy. In the context of trying to wrestle with the religious people and their dogmatic interpretations, I think Jesus was really wanting to make a point when he made this statement. Sometimes, you know, it's like some of those phrases, probably some of you would be familiar with that phrase, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Well, we all know that names will hurt, and names do hurt. In many respects, the point of that little phrase is in some cases, to really highlight the obvious. Not what it says, but to highlight the obvious, if you actually think about it. And I think Jesus was wanting to prompt the obvious, that the poor will always be with you. I won't be, he said, but the poor will always be with you, and I want you to understand what my heart truly is. Jesus was quoting another well-known biblical phrase when he made this statement from a passage in the Jewish Torah, interestingly. Everyone hearing back from him then would have caught his drift at the time. Here's the full original quote, and you'll find it in Deuteronomy 15. It says, verse 7, it says, "But if there are any poor Israelites in your towns when you arrive in the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Instead, be generous and lend them whatever they need. Do not be mean-spirited and refuse someone a loan because the year for cancelling debts is close at hand. If you refuse to make the loan and the needy person cries out to the Lord, you will be considered guilty of sin. Verse 10, give generously to the poor, not grudgingly, for the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do. There will always be some in your land who are poor. That is why I'm commanding you to share freely with the poor and with the other Israelites in need." When it comes down to how Jesus wants you to live towards others, I just want to encourage you. Understand what God's word says. Be truly informed and understand the circumstances around you and beyond your own. And try and understand the why behind the what. A story, very briefly. I had a guy, I'm on a board with a number of people along the coast trying to address some issues of homelessness. And this gentleman, who's quite well known to people along the coast, I won't mention his name, but he walked into the board meeting and he sat down. This is only about 3 or 4 months ago. And he sat there at the end of the table, and there were 4 or 5 of us around the table, and we could all see that he was quite emotional. And someone said to him, what's going on? And he burst into tears. He said, Yesterday, I had to bury one of my best friends. This man's not a believer, but certainly very open to talking about the love of God and the love of Christ. But he said, yesterday, I had to bury one of my best friends. She was a young mum, lived along the coast here, had two children, and took her own life because she said she just got sick and tired of trying to make a decision between whether she would feed her kids or pay a power bill. He said, we can't keep this up. We've got to try and be more compassionate and helpful. And of course, that opened up a very, very interesting conversation. And for the rest of that meeting, understand the why behind the what, please. Second point, let's not be a Judas in our attitude to the poor. Let's have another look at the detail around the incident from John's perspective. John 12, verse 3, it says, then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume. So another account of the same scripture I read to you earlier. Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled with fragrance. Verse 4, but Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray him, said, verse 5, that perfume was worth a year's wage. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor. Not that he cared for the poor. He was a thief. And since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole for himself. Verse 7, Jesus replied, leave her alone. She did this in preparation for my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. It's another account of the same text that I read earlier. The second thing to note is Jesus' rebuke towards Judas, who was scornful towards a woman for pouring out her perfume on Jesus. He did not say this, it's straight from the text, he did not say this because he cared about the poor, although he had implied that, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it, verse 6, John 12. So when we use Jesus' words to justify not caring about the poor, we're actually repeating the very sin of Judas himself, who was robbing the poor. It's so, so important that we don't have a Judas attitude towards the poor. We need to sometimes have a little bit more understanding about where people's circumstances are and what they're really going through. And the third point that I'd like to share with you is really love. Really love. Get an understanding of what it is to really love. Some 6 or 8 months ago, I decided that I'd jump in one of our trucks with the loaves and fishes guys and with the drivers that go down to the West Coast. They take around about 7 or 8 tonne of food and distribute it across different organisations that are doing great work along on the West Coast. And I got to Queenstown, and there's a little church in Queenstown, and some of you may be familiar with this little church, but it's a little eclectic group of people who love God and just really passionate towards people. And I hopped out of the truck and this little old lady walked up to me and she handed me an envelope. And she said, this is for you guys. She said, I'd like you to have this gift. And I turned to this lady and I said, look, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. But you know what? We're here to give you a gift. You know, you guys need so much help. We know here on the coast and to support people. They support some 70 or 80 families in this particular little church every week, just helping, feeding and doing all sorts of amazing things and sharing the love of God with people as they do. I said, you know, you don't need to give us a gift. She said, no, hear me. She said, I want you to take this gift and to bless another community somewhere else in the state. I want you to pay it forward. You've been so gracious and so loving to us. Anyway, it turned out that this little old lady had given us $500. And I was quite humbled by that. But she went on to say, she said, but Andrew, I want to tell you something else. She said, I've met Jesus. She said, I came here to this little church some 2 or 3 years ago. She said, I was born in Queenstown. I've lived in Queenstown all of my life. She said, I can't leave this place. This is my home. She said, I'd love to sometimes, but it's my home. She said, 3 or 4 years ago, I sat in my little unit down the road from this church. She said, I had no power. I was freezing cold. I had no food to eat. She said, once a week, I'd come to this place here, or twice a week, I think it is. I'd come here, and they'd give me a meal, and they'd love me, and they'd care for me. She said, but one day I walked in here, and there was another lady came up to me, and she said, can I pray for you? She said, yeah, sure. She said, is there anything particularly that I can pray for? She said, well, I really struggle to see. She said, I've got cataracts on my eyes. She said, I really struggle to see, but if you could pray for that, that'd be wonderful. I don't know whether anything will happen. This is what the lady was saying. She said, that lady prayed for me, and she said, within a few days, my sight was better. And she said, following that, some months later, I met Jesus. He's changed my life. She said, I just want you to know that giving people a meal, loving them in their deepest, darkest hour of need is the most worthy and the best thing that you can ever do. Because if they hadn't have done that, I'd have never met Jesus. We need to really love. If we're truly going to be the hands and feet of Jesus, if we're truly going to be the impact that we as followers of Christ and those with a message of hope truly claim to have, we need to really love. We need to really love. We need to follow those examples of that beautiful example and story of that woman's testimony on the West Coast. And in conclusion on that, I'd like to take you to Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. Because I believe that this passage, and it's a passage that I've taken almost as just a bit of a mandate for the way that I find Romans 12 is, if you didn't have the rest of Scripture, Romans 12 would truly give you an in-depth understanding of how it is and how it is that we should be living as a follower of Jesus. But I just want to read from verse 9. And it says this, verse 9, Romans 12, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honouring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think that you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honourable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. You see, God's word, sometimes we don't need to add too much dribble to what we share. God's word pretty much says it all. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures said, I will take revenge and I will pay them back, says the Lord. Verse 20. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. And verse 21, I believe, is that scripture that we should all take deeply, because we think about the many challenges. We think about the 120,000 people every day struggling to put food on the table. We think about many of the things that are happening in our society that really break our hearts. The evil that we see rolling out, the things that we see happening, the way that society is being degraded and disconnected and dismantled. Take this scripture deeply when we think of those things. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. I've shared with you these three challenges. Understand the why behind the what. Don't be a Judas in our attitude to the poor. And really love. Really love. Find out what it is to really love, because it may just be that the old lady who's struggling to see and struggling to survive in life just needs something to eat, and it might be her doorway to coming to know Jesus. So what does this mean for us when we walk out of those back doors today? What should it look like? And I've just put a few thoughts here on, what does it really like? Feeding people, loving people, delivering hope. How do we, if we think about those words, feeding people, loving people, delivering hope, I think we'd all say, yeah, I'm up for that. We want to be part of that as a church. We want to be part of that as, I want to be part of that as a follower of Jesus. But how can I do that better? Please, can I encourage you just to really ponder those three points that I shared with you and just chew over them and really see, hey, where do I sit before God on that? But some other practical things that I think are so important. You know, it's so important to be informed and aware. You know, so many people, I think, and so many of us as Christians, and I'm guilty of this myself, we can be so uninformed and unaware of the challenges that people are facing right out there. I'd be pretty confident to say that probably maybe half the congregation today would have been unaware that 120,000 people every single day in Tasmania can't put food on the table. Would that be a fair assessment? I may be wrong. And if you were aware of that, I'm very grateful. But be informed and be aware of what people are facing and how people are struggling. Keep it simple. If someone's hungry, what do? Feed them. And thirdly, make relationship your life priority. You know, we've got some amazing chaplains that work in our schools. There's four or five of them here in Devonport, two or three in this church alone. And, relationship is the priority for them as they sit alongside people and they bring and they live the love of Jesus into the lives of those young people and those families and those teachers every day. Praise God, across Ulverston and Devonport, we've got over 150 mentors that go into schools every single day, just being the hands and feet of Christ and sitting alongside people. So make relationship your priority. That may just be your neighbour. It may be the person down the street that you run into at the supermarket, wherever it is, but make that your priority. Let me pray. I want to pray for you this morning. I just want to pray that the words that I've shared will not just be words. The powerful things from God's word will not just be just another reading of his word, but they'll penetrate deeply, and that we, including myself, will passionately seek to change the way that we live, so that God's love can be brought to those around us. Father, I just thank you so much for the people here in this room today. I know that they have a deep desire to love you. They have a deep desire to be a beacon of hope within this community of Ulverston as a church community. But Father, I just pray that each and every person in this room today will walk out of here more activated, more passionate about being your hands and feet and being those who are carriers of hope and purpose into the lives of those around them. Father, I pray that you will just deepen our awareness of the challenges that people may be facing around us. May we not be complacent and dismissive about those challenges, but may we choose to deeply understand the why behind the what. And may we choose to deeply desire to have greater relationship, to come alongside, to love people for who they are. And Father, in all of that, we know that the hope and the purpose of Jesus will be revealed. Father, that's my prayer this morning for every person in this building. So may we take this to heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.